Hey, Christmas, eh? That was it then. That's it, it's over. It's a bit like that, isn't it? I wonder how many of you saw Gareth Malone at Watford Hospital? One or two of you did. And there was an old lady there, and she said, "Oh, Christmas, it's lost its magic." And it can be a bit like that, can't it, when you're older? It loses its magic. You haven't got all the razzmatazz. I bet Emily really enjoyed Christmas, didn't you? Yes. You got a hamster? You did? Oh, dear. I'm so sorry, Meg. My heart goes out to you. Oh dear. Right. Well, we've heard all about it, haven't we? We've heard all the genealogies. Yeah? You remember? Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, just a minute. Something's happened there. Oh, Clive. I might need you. We've heard all the genealogies. Yes? Do you remember? Yeah? The line of Mary, the line of Joseph. And we heard the big picture from John's Gospel, from the beginning of time to the end of time. And it's strange because I never said I was going to do a service of reflection, but it was there on the bulletin, that reflective service. So we talked about this when we did the carol singing on Christmas Eve, and we said perhaps everyone should have been invited to bring a mirror. But actually, I'm not quite sure that we all want to sit and look at ourselves for an hour. Do we? So, no mirrors. All right, we're not doing it with mirrors. And although we will be reflecting on ourselves at some stage, we've got other things to reflect on, haven't we? Even if there are some churches that are closed, I understand, today. Well, closed on a Sunday. Yeah, here, there and everywhere, apparently, Howard. Yeah, several places are not having services today. Yeah, because they've had too many, you know, because there was last Sunday and then there was Christmas Day and, you know, things, well, midnight service and all sorts. So we are here, and we are here to worship God, aren't we? Yeah, because actually, Christmas is about the razzmatazz, but it's more than that. It's about God with us at Christmas time and throughout the year. And I do have a little problem here, Clive. I've just knocked something, I think. But so we're going to sing something, actually. And it's not working. I'm sorry, I knocked something. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're all right. We're all right now. It's nice to have a man about sometimes. Thanks, Will. This first hymn is not one that we've sung for a long time, but it's about the beginning of time. Of the Father's love begotten when the worlds had yet to be. So it's from the beginning. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the source, the ending, he. Of the things that are, that have been, and that future years shall see evermore and evermore. He's from beginning to end. Notice there's a line underneath have. This is in case you are not familiar with this tune. You have to go, have been, all right? And in the next verse, there's a la, 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 all right? Follow David, he knows it. Actually, no, he's not familiar with it, so he's not going to be singing it. Oh, dear. So it may be down to me, and I'm not singing very well at all this morning. Let's stand to sing. Oh, do you want to hear the tune all the way through? Would that be a good idea?
All right.
Sorry. Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning. We praise you because you have been from the beginning of time. You created all things. that you continue with us and that you will be to the end of time. Lord, this is a mystery to us. We can't take it all in, but we do know we have the experience that you are here and with us now. You are God with us. And we want to pray this day, whether there are churches closed or open, that all around the world there'll be those who are praising your name. And we thank you so much that you can hear all our praises as we join the angel hosts in heaven. Lord, we want to pray that that will thrill our hearts, that we are part of your great praising congregation. Lord, we pray that as we reflect today on Christmas time and on our lives, that you will help us to hear what you want to say to each one of us. Be pleased to bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Emily, would you like to look at some Christmas cards with me? Just like you to have a look and see the different sorts I've brought with me. I just grabbed a few. There are two that are special for me, but I've grabbed a few. Can you hear Emily if she talks close to me? So what have we got here, Emily? Let's see what we've got. What about that one? What do you think that is? It's a difficult one, isn't it? We'll come back to that one. What about that?
An angel.
Angel and probably. Who's she talking to? He talking to?
Mary.
Yeah, I think so. Oh.
Three wise men.
Three wise men. Oh.
Reindeer.
Boats. Three ships. Do you know that carol? I saw three ships come set. Oh. Right.
Slaying Christmas trees.
Oh, that's right, slaying Christmas trees.
The wise men.
Ah, they were the wise men. They must be.
The shepherds.
That's right.
Christmas tree.
Robins. I like that one. Do you? Robins. Oh, yes.
Carol singing
in the
churchyard.
In the churchyard, which is full of snow, which we had lots of, didn't we? Yes. You're telling fibs. And then writing on it. I'm going to come back to this one, because that's one of my favourites, Emily. And that one. And I'll tell you why in a minute. All right? Unless you can tell me what that is, do you think?
The stable.
It is the stable, isn't it? What can you see in the stable?
A donkey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I've got a big picture of this I'm going to put up on the screen, and we're going to talk about that. Okay? Thank you very much. An analysis of Christmas cards. I was asked, I think, early December, something like that, to do this service. And almost immediately, we went on a visit to a friend. It was early December, and she said, to save on the stamp, here's your card. She says that every year, you know. And this was the card, and that's the card that was down there. And I thought, well, what's this all about then? You see, it's a carving, and apparently a carving into a wall on the outskirts of a French village. And she said, I was visiting there with my brother, and he was 8 miles ahead. But I stopped and I thought, oh, I like that. Well, I think I like it. And she took a picture of it and she dug it out this year to turn it into her Christmas card. And she said, well, the thing is, when you look at it, what do you see? Well, you see There's Mary lying down, actually on a bed. I only noticed that the other day. There's a bed there in the stable, look. And the donkey. And the ox. And presumably Joseph. And we both said, but why is Jesus on the shelf? What is Jesus doing on the shelf? And it took me some time, but I reckon that it was meant to be the feeding trough. And that's why the animals are interested, really, that it was their feeding trough. And somehow Mary got in the way of their food, and there was this baby. Yes, well done, that girl. This is where we talked about this a lot, you know. Where did he start his carving? Did he start the carving with Mary and run out of space and put Jesus up there? Or did he start with Jesus and say, Jesus is more important? He shouldn't be down there on the ground. He should be up here. Do you see what I mean? And of course, we don't know. I guess whoever carved that is dead long ago. And we don't know why he did what he did. There's a lot to see in it, actually. But it was a prompt, you see, to look again at Christmas. And we're going to come back to this one. Oh, yes. And we're going to sing it without accompaniment, this next one, because we sang it outside the shops on Christmas Eve. And it was beautiful. Those who were there sang beautifully. So now it's up to you. You've got a high bar to reach, all right? So we're going to sing this unaccompanied. David's going to give us an introduction. And we're thinking about, obviously, the manger and being the silent night, all right? So would you like to stand? David will give us an introduction. Do sit down. I'm sure the Lord enjoyed that. It's great. But you know, the more I looked at that picture, the more I focused on Joseph. And this is the reading we had, I think, on Christmas morning, wasn't it? So this is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and verses 18 to 24. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You go back at that. You know, this is very matter of fact, it starts off, doesn't it? This is how it happened. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. And very matter of fact. But poor old Joseph is there at the centre of all of this. And he's a worried man because this wasn't meant to happen. This was not part of his plan. She was pregnant. What was a man to do? A good, upright Jewish man, what should he do? Because his reputation was at stake? Should he just divorce her out of hand? Or, well, he must have been quite a kind man as well, a sensitive man. He wanted to do things quietly. He would just very quietly put her away, and He wouldn't make a great fuss and to-do about it. However, or as but, in verse 20, but after he considered this, you can imagine him saying, right, I've sorted that out, I'm going to do everything quietly, I'll have to divorce her, but it'll have to be on the quiet. So off he goes to bed, he's got his plans made, and then into that comes a dream. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, notice, he's speaking directly to him. Joseph, I want your attention now. Joseph, remember who you are, son of David. Yes, an upright Jew. Joseph, son of David. I understand all this, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because I'm dealing with this. My Holy Spirit is at work here. And you know this Messiah you've been waiting for all these years? This is him. He's going to save his people from their sins. This is fantastic. Actually, it must have been a real shock to Joseph. It must have been. But notice, he gets up in the morning and he does his bit. He does what he's set, he's been told. And all this took place to fulfill what the prophet had said. He doesn't know that, actually. He doesn't know all of that. But when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Some man, wasn't he, actually, when you think about it? It's easy to read those verses and to not take in the fact that Joseph was a man who was sensitive, God-fearing, listening to God and doing what he's told. Wow. I wonder, can that be said of you, all of those things? Sensitive, God-fearing, listening, obeying. You remember we've been looking at the different versions and realising that the story, Christmas story, has been told in different ways. And in this part, it seems as though Joseph is being told that he's actually got a privilege alongside the responsibility that's his. And I guess that's something we all forget. I'm trying to think what comes next. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, just a minute. We look at him. When you look at this man, though, that's a close-up on the carving. What can you tell me about that man? Come on. He looks resigned. Now, remember, this has all happened now, so he's in the stable. He looks resigned, yeah.
He's thinking.
Ah, come back to that. Ah, actually, perhaps he won't come back to that. Go on. Go on, do it again. Do that again. Oh, this is what Howard's saying. Well, what about the expression on his face? Anything? You think he's saying wow? Weary. Well, actually, if you think about it, he's come, done all that journey. He's stayed up all night because Mary's had the baby, and people keep coming in and out. I can't sleep. And actually, you know that DVD we've seen about the Nativity, the BBC one. It makes Joseph out to be a rather dishy young man, you know. And you think, just a minute. For years I've been singing, Joseph was an old man, and an old man was he, when he married Mary in the land of Galilee. Don't you know that one? Yeah. Oh, where have you been all my life? But the impression was that Joseph was actually an old man. So he's really had it, you know, up to... is exhausted, yes, resigned, yes.
Look there, old there. He's got a moustache and a beard, but if you look at his lips,
yeah,
he's quite pleasantly happy with the situation, isn't he?
Oh, you think so?
Mm. I do. Right. If you look at his lips, he's almost smiling.
Right, okay, yeah. Well, what was this then, Howard?
What's what?
What was this business?
He's not pushing it away, he's just going,
wow. Oh, I see. Oh, but that hand should be like that. No, we'll come back to that. Sorry?
It's the royal wedding.
Now, that one I hadn't thought about, the royal wave. Do you think he's praising? All right. Well, I'll tell you what I think in a little while. Yes, so this was God sending his love into the world. So we're going to sing Love Came Down at Christmas. All right, shall we stand again? I think it's time you stood, yes. My watch has gone off to say it's time we all stood up. All you need is love. All you need is love. When Andrew was talking, he talked about humility. He talked about the humility of Mary and the shepherds. And I think he mentioned Joseph. But I want to say there's more to this than humility. I think vulnerability comes into this as well. Because he wasn't expecting any of that, Joseph. And nor was Mary. This was all totally out of their hands. Yeah? And yet, he was obedient. Now, is he ready for the next step? Because when I looked at that picture and I saw that hand, what I read into it was this. No more, please. Please, no more. Because life can be like that, can't it? You have all these unexpected things happening, and you can take so much, and even it's been a struggle all the time. You will obey, you'll do what's right, but there comes a point at which you say, oh, please, no more. He didn't know that there was another dream coming. He didn't know that having obeyed the one dream, which meant that his own reputation was at stake, there was another dream coming that meant he was going to come, well, not face to face, thankfully, but he was up against the king, Herod, goodness me. And he was going to have to flee into Egypt with Mary and the baby. He didn't know any of that. And sometimes we can take on following Jesus and saying, yes, Lord, I will do anything you like. And then suddenly he says, yes, now I want you to do this. Or I'm going to take away that. And there are all sorts of things that can happen that we know nothing about. And can we do it? One of the Christmas cards had an angel on it, and it had got this poem in it. Janice, can you read this poem from the screen? Is that all right? Because it's not a known poem. It was written this year by someone I don't say I know him, because that's putting it a bit strong. He was at London Bible College when I was there. And his name is Mark Green. You may have seen his name on things. And he's into looking at contemporary Christianity. And he is fantastic. He's a Jewish Christian. And I find this poem is quite moving, actually. It's the second verse is particularly moving. Okay, thanks, Janet.
Mother-to-be. Mother-to-be or not to be, that, for Mary, was not the question. No, All the life she had formerly supposed still stretched out clear before her, unenclosed. Mother to him, or not to him, was her specific invitation. Would she give her life to bring his life to her nation? Carry his life into her everyday everythings? Let this divine bearing determine all her bearings? Our invitations come similarly personalized. Our self-imagined futures still open before our eyes. Ours then similarly to decide. Will we let him grow great inside? Give our life to bring his life to our situation? Trust him to bring peace to our anxious nation? Carry his life into our everyday everythings and sing there with joy whatever song he sings.
I like that second verse particularly. Ours then similarly to decide. Will we let him grow great inside? Gosh, how many years is it since I was expecting Naomi? And yet still, if I think back, I get that sense that growing inside me of a baby. First of all, you don't really believe it's happening. You can't feel anything. And then gradually you begin, there's a little flutter and then there's a movement and then it begins to show. And you know that baby is growing great inside. And for me, this poem is really quite a challenge. It says, will you let Jesus grow great inside you? You know, sometimes I think we've reached the plateau. We think we've got all there is of God. We think nothing more is to come. But actually, there's always more to come. And that when we open our lives, it was Justin Welby, I think, who said, we open ourselves to God and he comes in. So it's nothing we do apart from opening ourselves and allowing God to come in. And I think that's a beautiful poem. I think I must write to him and congratulate him on that one. But where is Jesus for you today? That's the big question. Is he up on the shelf? As in the picture. Have we put Jesus on the shelf and said, right, that's Christmas done, fine. Have we put him up on the shelf and said, we know all about you. We're on this plateau. Everything's fine. And actually, there's a sense in which we can say, God is looking after us, you know, and we know God. We can say that. But there's a big danger, no matter who we are, of just presuming that we've got all that we need. And so, where is he for you today? Is he in our everyday everythings? In other words, in absolutely everything that we do. I'm sure that most, if not all of you, spend your days talking to God, telling him about this and that, asking him for help. I know I do. And so, is he there in your everyday everythings? Is he trusted by you to bring peace to our anxious nation? Gosh, that's a biggie, isn't it? Do we believe that God will bring peace to our nation and to all the other nations of the world? Have we invited him to grow great inside? That's something we need to do every day, isn't it? And can we sing with joy whatever song he sings? In other words, if he sings a song to you that you don't like very much, in other words, this is what I want you to do, and I want you to just enjoy it, Can we do that? Can we do that? Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, you know we've been looking at Joseph and the way he obeyed you, the way he worked with you in your sending of yourself into the world, your giving of your love. And that must have been so difficult, Lord. If we think about it, it was so hard for him, so hard for Mary. And there was more to come that was going to cause grief and worry and stress. Lord God, as we reflect today on our own lives, we realise that there are things that have happened in the past that have been oh so difficult. We've had losses, we've had griefs, but we've had so many joys. And Lord, we don't know what's coming next as we go into another new year. But we want to say, we want you in our everyday everythings, that every day that we live, every moment that we live, all the things that we do, we are praying that you will be there and in it all and guiding us through it. We want to pray that you help us to trust you to bring peace to our nation and to the nations of the world, and even more than that, Lord, that you will bring peace in our families where there is strife and discord. And we invite you, Lord, to grow great inside us. We want that to happen, Lord. We want to simply feel you expanding yourself within our lives. We want you to reign completely in our lives. And we want to be able to sing with joy whatever you send us. And Lord, some of us are in pain even now. There are things that hurt us. But Lord, we want to be able to sing with joy and look for the good that you're sending, even through some of the difficult things. We pray, Lord. We pray that as you grow great inside us, we may be able to give you birth into the situations around us and into the lives of the people we meet. Because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I've chosen this. We haven't sung it again for some time. It's May the Mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day. Because it seems to me that this puts into words again the whole idea of having Jesus at the centre of our lives. So we'll stand to sing, shall we? Just before our last hymn, just a reminder that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wanted to end by being certain that we're focused on God and on the fact that the Lord Jesus came to show us God, to be God. And I wanted to end with this particular song. I think it's got more width to it as well, but to me, the fact that Jesus was the revelation of God's righteousness is so important. And also that he's the expression of God's love. And it seems to me that that's what we're called to be as well. That as God grows in us, as we allow him to grow, we're meant to be the expression of his love and his righteousness revealed, the right way of living. And in our world today, as we go into a new year, that's what we need to be more than anything else. Those who express the love of the Lord Jesus, those who reveal the right way of living. And that's a big ask, you know. We really need him growing great inside by his Spirit, don't we? In order to be those people who will change the world. Hey, folks, we're going to change the world. Yeah? In 2020, we're going to change the world. And we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world that they change the world as well, as God grows great inside. Let's stand to sing Jesus, God's Righteousness Revealed. We want to be those who change the world for you. We want your right way of living, your holiness, your love, all to be expressed in our lives. And Lord, maybe this is our New Year's resolution. Maybe more than anything else, this coming year, you will grow great inside us. And that we will give you birth into our families, into our community, into the world around us. And Lord God, we want to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let's say the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.